Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth as it comes to us. Now bless the reading of it, the teaching of it. Lord, speak in your children's hearts. May they hear what the Spirit is saying to the church and be refreshed, be revived, be renewed, oh God, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Matthew chapter 14, Jesus has fed the 5,000. And in verse 21, it says this, 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now, so as I relate this to the Graham's journey and to our journey, hello, we see that after Jesus got done feeding the 5,000, he made his disciples get into the boat, go before him. In other words, he sent them where they were going. As Jesus is sending you and I. Sometimes it doesn't look the same way, but it is. He's sending us, right? And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. Where is your boat? Jesus told you to go there. He told you to get in it. He sent you before him. But now all of a sudden your boat is in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. And you say, wait a second, Jesus. Did you send me? Are you sure? Yeah, he sent you. Is that what happens to you? Just because Jesus sent you there doesn't mean that the way's going to be plain and smooth all the time. Right? In the will of God, we see. We look at Peter, Paul's, anybody's life. Peter, Paul, Jesus, anybody's life. That even though he sent you there doesn't mean it's all going to be smooth sailing. For verse 24 says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So, Pastor, what you're telling me is that I can be in the will of God and have contrary things come against me. That's exactly what the Scripture is telling us. Hallelujah. Amen. We've all experienced it. And we all will again. Now, verse 25 says, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. Now, he's not there yet. But in the fourth watch, he went to them. What does that tell us? The struggle that I am in right now, I may not see him now. Where is he? He's on his way. He went to them. He's coming. Yeah, but I want him here now. No, no, no. The Scripture says in the fourth watch of the night. If you go to the book of, is it Luke? I think it's Mark's account in Mark chapter 6. The Scripture even says that Jesus saw them straining while they were rowing. Huh? He was on land and he saw them struggling while they're rowing this boat. Does Jesus see? Does he know? Sometimes we say that it's so hard. Lord, do you know? Oh, he sees. He knows, right? He sees exactly where you are. So in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now the sea obviously represents that which is unstable. That which is, which you can't get a grasp. It falls through your hands. It's not something that you can stand upon. It's something that which is walking on the sea is not ordinary. Come on. It's extraordinary. It's super ordinary, right? And so here comes Jesus, listen, walking on top of that which was causing them so much trouble. When Jesus comes to you, and when he comes to me, he comes to us walking on our problem. He comes to us. Now see, this is why, listen, At one point, I said to you a couple, 3 weeks ago, I was no longer worried about the grams, the answer to the prayer. Why? Because we know who has the answer. Now, how many of you know God has the answer to your prayer? That's not the problem with us. We know God has the answer to the prayer. But the problem is what we're going through. That's what it becomes. Now, I don't know what to do with it. He's big. He's awesome. But what am I to do? So Jesus comes to them. You know, I go through this so much. God is so, he's so, you know, he can show you himself in ways. I had another, was it yesterday? It was Friday. I was at work and I had a situation come up with some, with a scheduling conflict. I had too much work scheduled on a day. Oh, it's actually the day's tomorrow. And I'm sitting there looking at the schedule, and I don't have the equipment I need because it's somewhere else, and I've got to use this other equipment. The long story short, I said to myself, and I said, because when you talk to yourself, you know you're talking to the Lord, right? And so as I said to myself, I said, I have too much work on Monday. This was Friday or Thursday. Or Tuesday. I can't remember which day it was. It was one of those days last week. And I said, I have too much work. I need someone to change. But I didn't call anybody. But how many of you know the Lord hears?
Yes, he does.
He hears. And Friday, while I was minding my business, a woman calls in who's scheduled for noon tomorrow and says, Pat, I forgot we have a funeral to attend on Monday. I cannot be, please excuse me, I'm so sorry. I says, ma'am, it is no problem whatsoever. I said, what day would you like to move to? And so I moved her. But on the inside, you know, 4th of July fireworks, you know, inside, it was one of, it's one of those all over again where I say, Father, wow, man, wow. I didn't even ask. He just heard and just went and just helped me. He comes and he helps. The disciples weren't crying out for help. But Jesus knew where they were. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. How many of you know that there's some ways you haven't seen Jesus? Says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Sometimes we think we know Jesus, but we don't know everything about Jesus. See, because these disciples, even though Peter said, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Andrew said to Peter when he called, Peter says, we think we found the Messiah. Right. And they even believed he was a Messiah. However, Messiahs don't walk on water. That's why they thought he was a ghost, they said. And they're crying out for fear. The Messiah they're looking for is just a regular man. Huh? They're crying out for fear because they've never seen Jesus like this. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. When you see Jesus in a way you ain't normally used to seeing him, he's going to have to say that to you. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Yeah. What was it? Habakkuk I read earlier today as we started the service. Habakkuk said, I heard you speak, God, and I was afraid. And Habakkuk's a prophet. He's used to hearing God speak. But when he heard God speak that time, he was afraid. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. This is interesting to me. And I see, you know, I see the Grahams when they left here. Again, they left here with a bit of uncertainty, wouldn't you say? We don't even have permission to get really back, a permanent means to get into the country. Then the winds began to blow. Steve began to get a plan B. And at one point he said, there is no plan B. And then they looked at Lesotho. But then Carrie got banned from South Africa, and Lesotho is surrounded by South Africa. You remember when he was here? Excuse me. And he went on to say that if Carrie needed medical care, they would have to leave Lesotho to go through South Africa, which she is banned, in order to get medical care. So it was, the winds were blowing, and it is looking like how is this going to work? And every time Steve would contact me, either through a tweet or, a text or an email, anything he would say about the circumstance, I would always respond back to him, walking on water, brother. Walking on water. And so on they went. And listen, so Peter says, Lord, if it's you. Now, this is interesting to me because I don't know. Either Peter knew something about, he just didn't say, let me come to you. He didn't say, Jesus, if it's you, let me come to you. He said, Jesus, if it's you, command me to come to you. Yes. On the water. Listen, and Jesus said, listen, God said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. What did Peter get from Jesus? A word, one word, one word enabled Peter to step out of that boat. That's why I'm telling you, church, we need a word from God. That's why when Carrie sat here and said, that's the scripture the Lord keeps giving me. That was God's word to them to get out the boat. Literally. That was the word. He was telling them, you are going to walk on water. You are going to do what you're not supposed to be able to do. Do you remember the story? Steve stood here and told us other missionaries in Namibia have been sent home. Other AIM missionaries in South Africa and in West Africa have been sent home. And so the winds were blowing. And those are the things that affect us on our end. All of these things that are uncertain and that you can't stand on in Lesotho and South Africa. And how is this going to work? But Jesus told Peter, come. My God, come. Now he who spoke the worlds into existence spoke to him and said, come. My God, one word from God, one word can change everything, everything. So can you imagine? Jesus, now, my Bible says, translating, hold on, verse 24, it says, now when the boat was in the middle of the sea, now, Jesus started at dry land. Where it says the middle of the sea, it says in the margin, it says many furlongs away from the land. Jesus had been walking on the water. Mark's version says 15 stadia, which translated into 3 or 4 miles from land. Jesus then had been walking on water for 3 or 4 miles, just walking on water for a while. Just not, you know, he's just going to his disciples, walking on water. And they're in the middle of the sea, and it's at this point that Jesus tells Peter, come to me. And Peter, I can't imagine, now the wind's still going. the waves are still just thrashing about. And Peter gets down out this boat and puts his foot, now listen now, puts his foot down on something that you cannot stand on.
Right. Right.
Now, church, that takes faith. Amen. Church, that takes, you got to have something from God to do that. Yes. What did Peter have? Come.
Yes.
He had a word.
Yes, sir.
He had a word. How were the Grahams able to make it through all of this?
They had a word.
They had a word. And that word came from God. And so when Steve contacted me, all I could say was, Steve, to God be all the glory to God. Be all the glory. All the praise. All the glory. Just, he's so beautiful. He's so wonderful. He's so, and then you say, well, why did they have to go through all of this? Let's keep reading. So he said, come, and when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now remember, Peter said this, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Now when Jesus said, come, the intention of Jesus, that come, what went along with that was what Peter said, come to me, Peter. That's what I want you to do when you come. That's what the intention of Jesus was when Peter got down out of the boat. Verse 30 says, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. When he saw the things going on around him, and I mean, I can't imagine the wind and seeing water thrash about your feet. And at some point, it has to go through Peter's mind. Well, like, see, now I hadn't thought of either one of those, but that would be some of the things. But it would have to go through your mind. What am I standing on? Hello? What? But he looks on all of the things, and he gets scared. He's afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, now listen to what Jesus says, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Doubt what? Doubt that I said to you, come to me. Come to me. That's what I meant. I said, come to me. But when you doubted, it stopped your progress. Okay? Now, so when the Grahams were going through all of this, I don't know what the disciples were doing for Peter when they were back in the boat. I don't know if they're going, man, look, Peter walking on water. How long you think he's going to last? You think he's going to sink? I don't know. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know if they were praying for, but I know the Grahams had a ton of people praying for them. And I know God heard your prayers. Yes, he did. He heard our prayers for them that they would receive the will of God. Now, I said a couple weeks ago in exhorting us, I want to read it again. James chapter 1. Why did they have to go through all of that? Carl mentioned a lot of it as he exhorted us. James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let me ask you something. When you're in a trial, what do you know? I can tell you what you don't know. We all know what we don't know. How is it going to turn out? That's what really gets under our skin and gets causing us. That's what happened to Peter. See, Peter doubted whether he could make it to Jesus, even though Jesus said, come to me. So he doubted God's will for his life at that particular time. And when we enter into a trial, sometimes we begin to doubt. But we need to hold on to what we know. Hold on to what we know. Now, James says here, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. There's many other things that we know. We know that God cannot lie. We know that God cannot die. We know that God cannot fail. We know that if God said it, he's going to do it. And we know from past experience that God has delivered each and every one of us from a multitude of trials and testings. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The Grahams had to go through what they went through because the Lord's working on their faith. He's working on mine. He's working on yours. Come on. He's helping us. I was helping Loretta with something yesterday, and it came up in my spirit all over again because Loretta was telling me about this man at work who's not even saved, but his wife listens to Joyce Meyer, and the man comes to work with a scripture. An unsaved man whose wife listens to Joyce Meyer got a scripture from Joyce Meyer, came to work with it for Loretta. It was a word from God. But she got a word. Because God wanted her to hear. And she said when she got that word, things changed. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be mature or complete and complete, lacking nothing. And so the trying of our faith. Now, you know, the Lord could have had it that their work permits were stamped and ready to go while they were over here. They could have gone over. No problem. No harm, no foul. Everything's good. But then you and I wouldn't have gone through the prayer. Their faith would not have been and stretched in that muscle exercise to believe God. See, when Peter got out of that boat, Peter's faith was stretched. Even though he doubted, he did get out the boat. Beloved, I don't know what I would have done. I don't know if I'd have been the Peter or the other 11 standing in the boat going, I don't know about this, fellas. I can't swim too good, you know. We're not talking about swimming. Jesus walking on the water. You ain't got to be able to swim. Can you walk? But I don't know if I've been one of the ones, but Peter did get out. James goes on and says, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberty to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Interesting that it goes back to the analogy of Peter. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So there we have an account again of our faith being tested and tried. And beloved, to the day we go to be with Jesus, that's the way it's going to be. So, but what is the Lord after? Well, I mean, allowing all of these things, these trials to come about. I say allowing all of these things to come about. You know what he wants. Trust me. Trust me. I just want you to trust me. That's why he said to Peter, I told you to come. Why did you doubt what I told you? Why did you doubt? And he didn't say it in a demeaning fashion. He said it in a fashion for Peter a consoling, you know, son, I wanted you to make this. I wanted you to complete this journey. Why did you doubt what I told you? So the trying of our faith, the Lord allowed this circumstance to come about so that not only could the grams be changed and faith forged in the fires of uncertainty, if you will, but also for many other people, for their faith to be challenged. I can guarantee you that during this trial and many other trials, you know how people say, will come to you and say, pray for me, such and such a circumstance going on, and someone says, yeah, I'll pray. How many of us been there? And then you forget all about that person. But you've also been here where you said, I'll pray, and the Holy Spirit said, and you will pray. And he reminds you to pray. And so there have been some people who during this whole time of trial, even for the Grahams, that the Lord instructed them to pray, instructed them to keep their word. That's very important. As a person matures in what it means to walk with the Lord, be a comfort to their brother, and actually do what you say you're going to do. Because every word that comes out of our mouth is very important. Jesus said we're going to be judged by every idle word that we speak. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter writes to the believers. Blessed be the God and Father, verse 3, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith, for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You and I are kept by the power of God, and the vehicle for that keeping is faith. We are kept by God, by the power of God, through faith for the end result, salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. In what? In this salvation you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. James talked about trials and the faith that is tried. Here, Peter talks about trials that come, verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Simply put, when you and I go through trials and we come out with our faith intact, that is glory to God. Old Testament counterpart is the book of Job. When Job went through, Satan says, I'll get him to curse you to your face. God said, have at it. Go ahead. But Job's faith at the end was just as strong as it was in the beginning. It was his wife who said, why don't you curse God and die? Throw away your faith, Job. Job says, you speak as one of the foolish women. Job held on to his faith. Why? Because if the devil gets your faith, that's what he's after, you know. I mean, you're saved, but you're kept by the power of God through faith. So he attacks our faith. God allows our faith to be tried and tested by fire. And that when our faith is tried and tested, when we go through our fire, our faith comes out as tested pure gold. And that is an honor and a glory to God. So when you and I go through these trials and we trust God from beginning to end, God is magnified, God is honored and glorified, along with Peter, what he says, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So I thank God that we were able to pray, we were able to stand with the Grahams, we were a part of that entire journey, and what we've gone through collectively, they've gone through personally in particular, but us more generally and collectively, is going to help us further in our own walk as we walk with the Lord. What did the Lord have in mind when that whole thing started? He had in mind exactly what we just saw done, that they have their work permit. But we had to go through the struggle of, does the Lord really want them there? That had to enter your mind. It entered Steve's mind. They started making preparations because you don't know, right? And in Deuteronomy, again, chapter 8, the Lord said, God told the people, he said, I fed you with manna, which you did not know, that I might cause you to know that man does not live by bread alone. God often takes you through things that you know nothing about so that he can cause you to know him. See? Amen. And they went through this so that they might know that their God is God over Namibia. Yeah. He's God over every circumstance. Yeah. Listen, God, you know, I often say that when God allows for things to happen, there are a million, I use a million just, but there are so many things that God is doing with allowing one thing to happen in your life. When the Grahams, I'll never forget when they got back to Otivarango, and people from the neighborhood, people that own businesses, wrote letters and said, we love the Grahams. They help out so much around here. They please let them stay. And these people had to stand up for God-fearing, God-loving people who were doing a work in the community. And they sent these letters to the governor. They sent it was so much going on where God affected hearts and caused people to rise up and shifted things and moved things. So many things were changed and moved about in order for it to come about as it has today. And the Lord had all that in mind. And so when you and I go through a trial, he has so much in mind than just the work permit. He has so much that he's doing. That's why we can't judge by the outcome of one thing, because God is after so much. He does so much in so many hearts and so many lives that we must simply trust him. We must simply trust him. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. That's it for today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your truth. Thank you, O God, for answered prayer with the Grahams that they have their work permits. Thank you, O God, for the ministry, Lord, that continues in Namibia and elsewhere. Thank you, O God, for the growth that we've all experienced. Lord, not only through this time, but through times that we continue to go through in our lives, Lord, where we wait upon you, where we trust you, where we believe you, where we know that you are good and that'll never falter, that'll never change. Father, I thank you for your compassion and your goodness toward not only your people, but you cause the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. You are good to all. My God. Lord, we pray your will, Lord, and your desire. Lord, over our loved ones, over our family members, over those you're drawing to Christ, over those you're bringing out of darkness, thrusting them into the light. Father, we pray, oh God, now, Lord, not only over our region and over our state, but we pray over our nation, Lord, and your will and those who are in authority, oh God. Lord, we pray for humility, oh God, and wisdom on their part. Father, we pray, oh God, indeed, for all the nations of the earth. Lord, for Ukraine and Russia and what's going on there. Lord, in Pakistan and Afghanistan and Syria and in Iraq and Iran. Father, we thank you, oh God, Lord, that you are working in the midst of the earth, that you're bringing your will and your desire to pass. And Father, we pray, Lord, that so many lives would be altered, so many lives would be brought into the kingdom, Lord, by your wisdom and by what you are allowing. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your compassion, that your goodness is over all the work of your hands. Psalms tells us, oh God, that your goodness, Lord, extends to all. And so we pray, Father, that your goodwill and your way and your kingdom would be accomplished and seen and brought to pass here in the earth today, we pray. And all of God's people said amen and amen and amen. In Jesus' name, God bless you real good.